Jewish people with alms and prayer, and he prayed unto God continually. Now, let's not get into what God did he pray for. The man was a God seeker. About the ninth month, I'm sorry, about the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had come down to him and said to him, Cornelius. And he, fixing his gaze upon him, was alarmed. And he said, what is it, Lord? See, this is the Lord busting in, trying to say, I'm going to try to start a Bible study here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to get some. I'm going to try to get you to have a more perfect knowledge of how it's going to happen. He said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and alms are ascended as a memorial before God. Clink, just like you said. I'm there preaching in the church saying, why does God have me in that place? There it is. It came today. See? And now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying in a certain tanner with a certain tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. And when the angel who was speaking to him had departed, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier. Boy, I like that. Two servants and one dude that he could trust, of those who were in constant attendance upon him. So the man was rich. And after he had explained everything to him, he sent him to Joppa. And on the next day, as they went on their way, approaching the city. Now, here's Peter. And this is where you guys come in and you listeners come in. Here we are. We're the Christians. We got salvation. Peter went up to a housetop about the sixth hour to pray. That's a good thing. And he became hungry, and he was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. He did like PJ does. He gets so hungry, he just falls out. Okay? And and behold, the sky was open, and certain objects, like a sheet, came down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and the birds of the air. And a voice came to him, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, by no means, or no, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy or unclean. Now, this shows a kind of a racial separation and a disdain for the other folk. Peter said, wait, see, God knows who you are. Mm-hmm. And so God's going to put you in a position. Now, I'm going to pause right now because, Bob, I want you to share a little bit to let the listening audience know how our minds are running coexistence with this, because you have the opportunity to go and be a Peter to a bunch of Corneliuses. You see what I'm talking about?
Yes.
You have that opportunity to do that. Mark Ramsey is going to be engaged when he's given an opportunity, and the other people are going to be given an opportunity. See, when God gives us his word, the Bible, you can find an illustration of your life as you read the word of God and as you wait on God. And God's going to do it exactly the same way he did it 2,000 years ago. He's not going to change the tactics. He's not going to be using user-friendly, secret-sensitive stuff. He's going to use the normative processes as you go through life. A lot of people have lost their homes. The people that got the homes in the neighborhood ought to be starting small Bible studies with their Bibles, asking their neighbors that are losing their house to show them how to live within their means. Okay? And if they have five bedrooms, let the family with the husband and wife and one kid stay in two of the bedrooms. Let them stay with you. You know, that's how we do this thing. And so as we continue to read, here again, the voice came down the second time, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. See, God is setting me up for something that I don't know of. He's cleansed some hearts, and I have an obligation now to teach those hearts. And it's not just going to be done in a church building. It's going to be done wherever I go. That's the way God uses his instrument.
Yeah.
And Mark, we had a Bible study last night talking about love, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
And so you can't do this unless you love the people that you minister to. Because if you don't love them, like where you may be going, Bob, to this retreat, mm-hmm. if you don't love those men,
yeah.
you're just going to become a sore thumb. Mm-hmm. You're going to be arguing with them about theology, and you don't know this, and you don't know that. and then they're going to threaten you and you're going to get upset. Man, we have to suffer if we do what Peter did. Mm-hmm. And that's very important. Now, Bob, I'm going to let you read the other verses. I think I stopped at verse 15.
Yes. Okay. So this was done three times.
Three times.
And the vessel was received up again into heaven.
Wait a minute. Can I ask you a question? You guys have any idea why it was done three times? Because Peter was stubborn.
Yeah. What?
Peter was stubborn.
I'm supposed to do that?
He didn't want to hear that.
No.
I ain't going to talk to those people. I'm not going to share my house with somebody else that lost theirs. You know, we American Christians are self-centered idiots. You know, when God was giving us all this prosperity and everything, we didn't think about anybody. Now God is telling some of us, open your home, mm-hmm. give some of your money up to your neighbors, and you don't want to do it. So he had to tell Peter three times.
Three times. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself this vision which he had seen should mean,
he's lying.
In other words, yeah, he's mm-hmm. lying. He's lying to himself.
Right.
Because he's saying, he still doesn't want to do that. He didn't like what he saw.
Keep talking.
So he says, okay, well, I'm not sure if that really meant what God said it was, in spite of the fact that that's why God did it three times, to make it clear. Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, mm-hmm. were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek you. That's also another three there.
Right, right. You know, God is breaking in. God is trying to get Peter ready, guys. God is saying to Peter, oh, no, you comfortable here in Joppa. Mm-hmm. You up on the housetop waiting on the sisters to bring you some tea cakes and stuff, mm-hmm. and I got work to get done.
Right.
All right. Good.
Arise, therefore, and go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. God, the Holy Spirit, is telling him specifically, I sent these men to you.
Right.
Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Jesus. Cornelius and said, behold,
help me, Jesus.
I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that fears God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for you into his house and to hear words from you.
Right.
Then he called them in and lodged them. And on the following day, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him.
Now, can I just break in right here? Because, see, like when these visitors came to Peter's house and explained to Peter exactly what God said. God said, my master said that God's going to talk through you to tell him what he must do.
Yes.
Now, Peter had to be thinking like you and I were talking. What in the world? Mm-hmm. I never imagined that God would have me doing this. Mm-hmm. Man, I mean, it's like, why would God? Now, all of you listening to me all over the world, all over the country right now, what is it that God is saying to you in your heart to do? And it sounds like the stupidest thing in the world. You see, because this is how God works when the economy goes flip-flop and the world goes mad. Mm-hmm. And he's only speaking to his children that he called.
Yes.
He's not speaking to false prophets, and he's going to be saying and doing the same thing through all of his children. Bob, it's a coincidence that God has you thinking in one area with the friends and the people that you're around, and they're all right. And so now he's doing the same thing through me where I am. Mm-hmm. And he's going to do it, Mark, through you. He's going to do it through all of his children because the Spirit of the Lord is moving this way. Mm-hmm. This is how revival takes place mm-hmm. within the institution of the church. And it takes place when everybody starts doing what God tells them to do. And I know that the group that I'll be meeting with, I got to tell them right up front, don't think this is going to be fun. No, you will be persecuted mm-hmm. if you start this club mm-hmm. because I will give you nothing but the word of God in just the way we're talking through it right now.
And Satan will come against it.
Oh, you know he is.
The homosexuals will be picketing outside.
Yes.
Boycotting. suing the university, whatever.
Well, I hope that the homosexuals will realize that we love them, because if we're truly Christians, we will manifest love.
They'll label you as hater.
I got this for you. Just hear it out. Because we were talking about that in the Bible study last night. My love is so strong that the homosexual will not be able to see the hate.
Right.
They will know that I'm loving them.
Right.
And they will have no answer.
Yeah.
The homosexual will not speak, because the homosexual's heart will be so softened by the... Man, if we, each of us, even the worst... Now, you were telling me about some stories about what these guys do. I know what they do in the black community and how they do it, but it's simply because they have never truly been loved. I think that if the Christian church demonstrates that love, there's a Chinese pastor on the internet. I think his name is Michael Chang. You can look up some of his preaching clips. And he reminds me so much of myself when I was a younger man. And Michael Chang was talking about that. Someone sent me a clip of him this morning. And Michael Chang says, it just dawned upon me that we are not loving the way that God told us to love.
Yeah.
And Chang said, we only love our own church members and friends. And he said that we are not going to be effective until we love. And so I said, well, somebody else is getting it. And these were recent clips. This is what God is doing now. God is saying... Because
that disarms them.
That's what I'm saying. That's what they can't
deal with.
Right.
They want to hate you. They want you to give them a reason to hate
you.
Now you
got it.
And then when you don't give them that reason, then they're disarmed. Their weapons of war just became useless. Their gun just ran out of bullets, and they don't know what to do. They're bewildered.
When you love them, they have no explanation for it. They say, I know that you love me because of the way you confront me, the way you approach me. And then they will tell you as a Christian, I feel comfortable around you.
Right.
See, and because that's Christ working.
Yes.
You're nothing.
Yeah.
You're just the instrument, the conduit, if you will.
Yes.
If I can get that in Christians' minds, we're just a conduit through which the Holy Spirit works.
Mm-hmm.
We are not the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The moral judgment God has made. You know, if I had a chance to speak with Barack Obama, our dear president, I wouldn't be brash and everything. I would love him.
Mm-hmm.
I would shake his hand gently and say, Mr. President. And then I would say, may I just say one thing without any? And then he would say, yes, John, speak. And then I would say something to this degree. Allow the love that I have for you to give you the ability to hear me 1 minute. Just allow it, please. I know what Barack would do. He would pull away immediately.
Mm-hmm.
He would pull away immediately, because once you're sold out to something, you will never allow that. Because I am telling him to disarm his self.
Right.
And a person that is adamantly against God,
they won't allow the penetration.
Just like Jeremiah Wright, his pastor.
Of the love.
They will never allow that, because Jeremiah Wright believes that all white people are devils from the pit of hell.
Right.
And so he can never withdraw from that.
Yeah.
See, and that's all I'd ask him. And when Barack would pull away, I would know that it's a done deal.
Yeah.
It's a done deal. That's the way we have to handle everyone. Everyone is not going to pull away because the Spirit of God is working on certain people's hearts.
Some of them, yep.
To be receptive. Those are the ones that we're trying to reach. We're not trying to reach the ones that want a bloodlet. It's not like that.
Just as a note, as far as what was on Grace to You this morning with John MacArthur and talking about the irresistibility of the Holy Spirit to move on the unbeliever.
Oh, yeah.
Irresistible grace.
Yes.
To where it's absolutely zero our choice.
Right.
To become saved.
Right.
It's completely God's will. It's completely God opening that heart, that hardened heart, which is sold out to the world.
Yes.
Which has, and it does not seek God. See, the Bible says that there's none that seeks after God. Men are not out there looking for God. Some say, oh, we're looking for spirituality. Yeah, they're looking for spirituality, but they don't want to find God. They want to find a spirituality that satisfies them and their needs, and so that they can be comfortable in living the life the way that they want to live it.
Right.
That's what those people are truly seeking after. They don't seek after God.
Right.
And God breaks that heart, breaks and shines the light into that darkened heart, so that that heart can then see God.
And you did, Bob, you hit it right on the head. And our roles as Christians are to communicate with people. Even if you have this Bible study or this Christian fellowship meeting, it is not to bash anyone. It is, go ahead, say it, Bob.
And God, and MacArthur said it
right
perfectly, God only saves by his word.
Yes.
So
yes.
What are we to do? Are we to, he says, we will not win people over with an intellectual argument.
Right.
We will not win people over with the emotionalism. He says, that's nothing but manipulation.
Yes.
That's what these old evangelical concerts,
yes,
and Billy Graham crusades are and all that stuff.
Right.
That's all emotional manipulation. It's only the word of God. Now, there might be a couple of people that hear enough of the word of God in that event that are truly saved, but certainly not the masses that all come streaming out of the stands.
And John was right, because while you're giving out the word, man, it was wonderful, Bob. I'm in a lecture, Bob and Mark. I'm in a lecture. I forget what I was talking about. It was a philosophical premise, and the only way that I could illustrate this premise, I said, this is the way I put it. Ah, we were talking about an a priori experience. An a priori experience is an experience that you know what reality is, that comes from outside of you, and not a posteriori, where your experience with the world, like John Locke and David Hume would say. David Hume would say, you know that something is real because of your interactiveness with it in a world experience. Well, a priori is one where you know something and you didn't have a relationship with it. So I said, now what can I do to bring it to the students? This is what I did on purpose. I said, there is a story in the ancient writings of the Christian text called the Bible in John chapter 4, when Jesus is walking with his disciples and he gets extremely thirsty and he sends them into the city to get some food. And he's sitting at a well at noonday. And I said, and this whorish lady comes to the well. Now, I'm giving them the word of God. I said, that whorish lady comes to the well at 12 noon. And then I asked the students, why do you think she's coming in the heat of the day, 110 degree heat? They didn't know. I said, because in the culture, the decent women came at 6 o'clock in the morning and she wasn't allowed to come.
Right.
Because she was a whorish lady.
Yeah.
I said, now she meets Jesus at the well. Jesus asked this woman for a drink. He's a Jew. She's a Samaritan. Racial tension. Should have looked around in the classroom. You could hear a pin drop. None of them had ever heard this, man. Mm-hmm. And I am giving it, Mark, just like I'd be giving it behind the pulpit.
Yes.
In a church.
Captive audience.
And man, the ones that God was speaking to understood it, you could tell, and the other ones just knew that it was a biblical text, or so looking away. I wasn't even trying, but I had to rush and get through it. And then when I got to the point where she said, I'm going to have to go into town, she left a water pot, ran back into town, and said, come and see a man that told me everything that I've ever done. And then she said, is not he the promised one? And then I asked the students, how did she know? And they all said, a priori. Thank you. You got the point. Mm-hmm. I preached. Mm-hmm. See, that's the word.
Right.
That's what draws them.
Yes.
That's what draws them.
Yeah.
And so we have to be wise, guys. We have to be wise the way we present this.
Yes.
That's what the Bible is left here for. Yeah.
Right. Again, wise as serpents, gentle as doves.
Absolutely.
So when we're giving the word, it's not bashing people over.
Right.
You stupid sinner. The Bible says,
right,
thou shalt not commit adultery.
Right.
Da da da. You're going to go to hell. You're going to burn. Da da da.
Right.
No. They don't see love. There you go again.
Right.
So if we're presenting the word as we kind of had some examples earlier of just gently answering the question when people are perplexed.
Yes.
And they come to you because you don't seem to have the same perplexity.
Right.
There's something different about you. You don't tick the way other people tick.
Right.
And we don't understand what's going on with you. And so they come and ask the question. You give them the biblical answer.
Right.
Well, of course, the Bible says this. This is what God's word tells us about this. It's going to be like this.
Right.
It's predicted.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, they're disarmed. They're already there, and they're perplexed. And then you lovingly interject the Holy Spirit prompts you to interject.
And you know when to cut it off. You know when to cut it off.
Oh, yeah. You just give them a little bit, and that's it.
And you enjoy the rest of the day. Mark, that's good.
It's amazing how some